which I think the fight will happen. I would love for this young kid to be on the undercard. I also would like Badu Jack to be on the undercard. But tonight's Tank night. Let's talk about him. He's done a great job. He's done a tremendous job. I had a great career, and my career may not be over. Number 50 may be against Conor McGregor. We'll just wait and see.
Floyd Mayweather Jr. doing a good job ducking questions in England about what will eventually be his 50th win against Conor McGregor. More on that a little later on. Well, good Sunday morning to you, and welcome to another edition of Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman, joined as always by future Nevada Hall of Fame producer Magnum. We are coming to you live from the Fox Sports studio in Las Vegas on the official home of the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. You can find us right here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 AM, and we are streaming live on lvsportsnetwork.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at Adeline 1340 AM. I encourage you to check out, like, and follow our Facebook page, which is called Adeline. That's OUTTALINE. Without you, there's no show. So if you have an opinion or something to add, pick up the phone. The Fox Sports studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University. Today, we will once again struggle to get through all the subject matter and the guests. Not a bad thing, just saying, time is of the essence. We'll start with a fantastic appetizer called the NHL Conference Finals, where you have overtime thrillers and underdogs continuing to win. And it's a sports show on Sunday morning, so I have to at least mention the NBA. But no worries, we'll offer you a spoonful of sugar to help you choke down their version of conference finals. Even high-grade sugar isn't getting that taste out of your mouth. It's disgusting. NBA playoffs, a joke. Something else that has curtailed my appetite is this Christine Leahy, LeVar Ball controversy. Come on, it's getting too much play, and now I'm contributing to it. But there is a reason. You'll find out shortly. Today on the show, we'll be joined by Bertie Fratto, host of the UNLV postgame show for UNLV basketball called Rebel Extra, and that's on our sister station, ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM. And Mark Anderson, Las Vegas Review-Journal beat writer assigned to UNLV men's basketball, will be here as well. And we will also get to blazing Fact This and the Las Vegas 51's report. Somehow we'll get it all in. On tap at Bubby's University, earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff, where the only majors are mayhem and good times. Bring your Rebel ID, and your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day. That's right. They're always open. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. To learn more, check out bubbysuniversity.com. Well, you know, I mean, what can I say? The NHL playoffs are for real. They're the real deal. And right now, you know, everyone keeps talking about the NBA playoffs. Are you watching them? You know, how sick they are. It's crazy. You keep hearing about it on radio, television. You can't get away from it. And it's a dead subject. The NBA regular season, I said it all season, meant absolutely nothing. The Boston Celtics finished with the best record in the Eastern Conference. And granted, Isaiah Thomas's hip injury is going to keep him out for the last game, the last two games. This is a joke. You know, I feel bad watching it. I really honestly do. It is amazing that these two teams are the second best teams in their respective conferences. I'll give San Antonio a bit of a pass. Tony Parker gone, and now Kawhi Leonard. That's just way too tall of an order. Even with those two guys, they might have won a game. But in the Eastern Conference, there is nobody challenging the Cavaliers. You know, now you look back to the games they lost, and you think, man, did they just not try? I mean, how many games did they just not even try? Because when they want to win, and right now they want to win and get the rest, the same as the Golden State Warriors do, what do? they win. All right, I'm done talking about the NBA. We'll talk about them at the beginning of June when it's the Cavaliers and the Warriors. You know, I'm actually excited for the series. It should be a hell of a series. If everybody can stay healthy, for the most part, everyone's banged up at this time of year, that should be a hell of a basketball series. And it's funny because all this time since October, they've been playing basketball. And here we are, and it doesn't matter until we get to June. That is kind of repulsive. Now, people can say the same thing in the NHL season. Well, so many teams make it in. So much is going on. It's bad. You know what? You're wrong if that's what you think. I'm listening to sports radio right now. Magnum's all fired up about the soccer in Liverpool. Is 2-0 right now? Is that what we got going on, Mags?
Yeah, it's a very important match. Last game of the season, and they need to win in order to finish in the top four, which gets them in the Champions League for next year. So,
what jersey am I wearing? I know I'm wearing a soccer jersey. What is this, by the way?
It's a Mexican jersey. I think it's... I don't really follow the Mexican League.
Some guy at Binion's offered me $40, literally to take the shirt off my back today. You know where I got it? I got it for $3 bartering at Puerto Vallarta back in 2007. I've worn it like six times, but I have luck playing poker in it because I took down last night a five-way chop at the Binion's $10,000 guarantee. All my friends, you didn't hear that. Nobody hit me up, please. I do not want to get up. I gave Magnum, I'm sending his kid out. I went out with my dear friend Carla last night for dinner. We're drawing the line right there. I'm done with it. But, you know, Mags, what I was talking about, and your opinion on this, you're a hockey fan, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I've become much more of a fan in the last year or so. But.
Well, this, you know, I am amazed at this, you know, talking about, I'm listening to a guy in Alabama on sports radio, full-blown Southern draw, and I'm not being biased towards rednecks or anything like that. What I'm saying is, this guy talked about how he watched the first half. He's a big Boston Celtic fan. He knew going into it that the Boston Celtics had no chance, and he watched half of the game, and he turned on hockey. Mags, I'm listening to people from Alabama turning on hockey. What does that tell you? The NBA is horrible. Yes, it tells you that. But you know what? Hockey, people are realizing, is a pretty damn exciting sport.
Yeah, you know, the playoffs have been amazing. I mean, yesterday's game was really good. Nashville, of course, getting the victory. They now lead that series 3-2.
How about the overtime game the night before again?
Oh, Pittsburgh and Ottawa has been an amazing series, you know, back and forth. They're tied at 2 going back to Pittsburgh. You know, if things hold form, you have to think the Senators are going to win that one. But, you know, Mike Sullivan did a really masterful job the other night for as Liverpool scores another goal, so I celebrate.
He celebrated. You can't see the arms up in the air. Mags is as happy as can be. I'm the one wearing a soccer jersey today. Crazy.
You know, I was going to wear my Liverpool shirt, but usually I just roll out of bed on Sunday mornings. No, but what I was saying, that the NHL playoffs have absolutely demolished the NBA playoffs in terms of excitement, in terms of quality, in terms of intrigue. Every single game, it seems. What do they have, like 27 overtime games?
Matt, Chris, it's one of the most ridiculous things this year regarding overtime games. And it's like I said last week, you will never see this in the NBA. You have the two bottom feeders in either conference getting into the playoffs. The last seed to get in the Eastern Conference was who, Mags? You know who it was last seed to get in the Eastern Conference?
Ottawa, right?
The Ottawa.
Yeah, Ottawa Senators.
The Ottawa Senators. You know who the last team to get in the Western Conference was?
Nashville.
The Nashville Predators. How amazing is it that we could see the 2-8 seeds? Now, 8 seeds have won it before. We just saw the LA Kings do it, 4 years ago. But has there ever, I didn't even look into this, have there ever been 2-8 seeds making it into the Stanley Cup Finals before?
I think we had a 6-8 a few years ago.
Ever an 8 and an 8.
Because I think when the Kings beat the Devils, I think the Devils were an 8 seed that, or a 6 seed that, and I grew up following the Devils, so I should know, but I think they were a 6 seed that year, and of course they were wiped up by the Kings, who that postseason were just... They came down from, I think the Kings were down 3-0 in that first game, yeah. Or first series.
First series, yeah.
Came back and won, I think they beat the Sharks.
Ever a team of destiny or that old saying, a team of destiny, was that year. That 3-0 deficit to come back from and win it and then go on to win the Stanley Cup.
Oh, that
it
team was like, caught lightning in a bottle.
Well, and again, it was quick and it between the pipes was absolutely impermeable. And again, that overused adage of being a wall is exactly what he was. And but my point is, Chris, the point to this, in hockey, we see this every year. Lower seeds upset upper seeds. It's so much different. The postseason, yes, everyone picks up their game, and you do have a couple of teams that rise to the top, but I've never seen anything like it in the NBA where, I know you had to run out to re-record something,
yeah.
But what I was saying was I have never seen it where this whole regular season, an entire basketball season that started in October, has meant absolutely nothing until June. And this is what's bothersome. And I said it's really bothersome. The Cavaliers proved something to us that they laid down a lot this year.
Yes.
Because when they don't lay down, they are unbeatable by any team in the East. And there might be two teams in basketball that could beat them on a given night. And I'd say San Antonio at full strength and Golden State. That's it. They should lose to nobody but those two teams. Am I right?
I agree with you. You know, and I think what you said is absolutely correct. We have had useless, meaningless basketball in the NBA for the last, 7 months? October, November, December, yeah. You know, here we are now, almost in June. If the Warriors end up sweeping and the Cavs end up sweeping,
there's no question.
There's going to be 9 days between games. That is horrific. If you were the NBA, you cannot have that. Because you know what? Yeah, people will be interested in
Max,
the rematch.
They have an off season before they play the finals.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Season. It's unbelievable. Listen, I want to stay on track today. So something I really was passionate about. I was actually listening to the radio last week, Magnum, when Colin Cowherd had LeVar Ball on and Christine Leahy, and I heard the whole thing. I have an opinion of it. Being a father, and I'll bet you can relate to this too, and not enough people are talking about it, but if you didn't hear it, this kind of also gives you the prelude to why LeVar Ball went off if you really pay attention.
All three sons, you have kids. They're being forced to do it. They're being told you will start basketball at age 6, like Lonzo told us. And whenever you asked him a question, I think he said, 5 words? And he looks terrified whenever he's talking. He looks genuinely afraid.
Well,
I don't think LeVar would let him do that. I honestly think LeVar will have to approve of any girl that comes into his life.
A few moments later...
Have you sold any shoes yet?
Yeah, I've sold a good amount to me.
How many?
Stay in your lane.
Anyways, I'm just curious.
I don't even worry about her over there.
Why not?
She scares
I think that's
me to
kind
death.
Of disrespectful.
She says she's like,
I'm just trying.
Leave me alone.
So she's a reporter. Her job is to probe.
She can report to whoever she wants behind her.
I'm talking to you, Colin. Well, what is your problem with me?
Hey, my problem is you are a hater.
I would never wear
a big baller shirt. With all due respect, you're a great reporter, just not reporting on me.
I didn't say it was offensive.
Yeah.
I just said, you know, if you want to, you know, work with Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour to maybe have something that appeals to women.
I'm not friends with her. I don't even see that. I don't even see it. I don't want to talk about all that. Next.
Well, you're going to have women who like your brand.
Yeah, if you have a women's company.
They wouldn't want to work with you anyway because you don't respect women, so...
She's after you today.
Oh, I don't respect women, but I'm the one that's married. I'm good. Well, she can say what she wants. She's trying to put it. I never disrespect women. But I tell you what, if you act like that, guess what? Something's coming to you.
Thanks.
Are you threatening me?
Oh, see how she tried to turn the words. I would never threaten
you. You said something's coming to me.
I don't know what it is. I'm not a psychic.
Oh.
His son looks like a robot, and his father looks like the total man in the family. I'm out on LeVar Ball. I think he's a problem for this kid, and it seems like he's just daddy's little boy, a little robot who's completely controlled by his father.
You know, you listen to that, and what I pick up, and you know, I don't want to get hammered and attacked on this, Magnum, and out there, if you've got an opinion, call us anytime. You know, the number is 702-876-1340. You're welcome to chime in, but listen to this. She said, and he heard that, and you heard it on the show, on Jason Whitlock's show, which is Speak for Yourself, on Fox. She said that Lonzo Ball looked terrified of his father. And to go on a date, he's probably going to have to authorize every date he went on and kind of laughed and smirked at it. Then you heard Jason Whitlock a little while later say, I'm out on him. You know, this, that. Here's the point, Chris. I'm a father. You're a father.
Yes.
You sit there and attack my ability to be a father. Hey, you know what? Let me tell you something right now. If I could go to my son, go to Jacob, who's 19 years old, and say, son, we're going to go back in time. I am going to be hard as hell on you. And at 20 years old, you're going to sign a multi-million dollar NBA deal. Do you think he would take me up on the offer, Chris?
Yes, I think
okay,
so.
Okay, then. So stop this. Christine Leahy, hey, you know what? You are a hell of a reporter. You're also an absolutely stunningly pretty lady. But the bottom line is you overstepped your bounds on that show. And you didn't overstep your bounds. You're allowed to say what you want. I'm not saying you did anything wrong as far as what you said. But you have to expect the repercussions. Those are his children. You said on national television that his son looks terrified of him. Come on, man. If you say that about me and my son, and I'm sure there are times that Jacob has been terrified of me in my past. Okay, I'm a father. We do that. But you know what? I promise you. I am not by any means standing up and saying, oh, I'm a LeVar Ball lover and I think we should revere the guy. No, he is a bully. Colin Cowherd has it right. He goes off on things. But the bottom line is Christine Leahy and Jason Whitlock indirectly and inadvertently attacked him and attacked his ability to be a father and attacked his person. Mags, I'm saying that they were wrong, and you know what? You got to take a message. And don't say he threatened her. He said, something's coming to you. If you say that, you know what he was saying. Everyone did. He's basically saying that's bad karma, and you're putting bad karma out, and when you put bad karma out, something comes back and haunts you. You know that's what he was saying. So does she. He wasn't saying, oh, I'm going to come back and club you over the head. Come on, man. These things get blown out of proportion. You know what they're for? They're for ratings, and they're for newsworthy stories. And I don't know that Christine Leahy needs much more popularity. She has a great deal. She is excellent at her craft. I like listening to her. I think she's got a great voice. I think she chimes in right. She is definitely knowledgeable. But I think here she overstepped her bounds. You criticized a father. Christine Leahy, once you're a parent, and I'm pretty sure she is not. Once you are a parent, you will see, hey, you raise your children the way you want to. I don't think the Balls are abused in any way, shape, or form. I think that they are, you've got a ton of fathers that have done this, and it is going to pay tremendous dividends. Not only is one son going to be a multimillionaire, there's a great chance that all three of his sons could end up being multimillionaires. And are you going to say he did something wrong, turn them into, oh, he made them play basketball. You know what? Dad, please bring me back and make me play hockey or something more so I can sign a multi-million dollar contract. Listen, we got to go to break. We'll come back. We got Bernie Fratto coming up on the other side, Mark Anderson down the road, and a lot more to talk about. This is Out of Line.
I'd like to share with you a story that I think I've mentioned before. I've certainly talked about it on the air. I talked about it with Steve Cofield on Cofield & Company. Back in 1999, I covered the TPC Dearborn and had the good pleasure of interviewing Jack Nicklaus. And back then, Tiger had come out of the gate like a house of fire. And the question I had for him was, will Tiger break your record of 18 majors? And Jack says, yeah, he will, but he's still got to do it. I want to see what his life looks like after he's married, has kids, and has had a first major injury.
Joining us now, Bernie Fratto, host of Rebel Extra, the UNLV basketball postgame show on our sister station, ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM. Bernie can also be heard regularly on every sports show worth listening to in Las Vegas. You can follow Bernie on Twitter at Bernie Fratto. Bernie, always appreciate you taking the time out on your Sunday morning for us.
Yeah, good to be with you, Brian.
Bernie, I love listening to those old podcasts of Inside the Fratto House, a creation of yours that aired on 920 for a while. That particular one I am going to play a lot more of on Father's Day, which is also the weekend of the U.S. Open. I can let the cat out of the bag. Bernie was the one that said Tiger's not breaking the Golden Bears record. But Bernie, when we did that podcast back in 2013, did you think that he might not even win one more major?
Well, I thought it was a distinct possibility. You can always catch lightning in a bottle in one day, but I certainly thought it was a distinct possibility because, you know, as we pointed out, he's physically broken down, he's mentally broken down, and the field has gotten a lot better. And so when you put the three together to to, you know, play great golf 4 days in a row against the top flight field is not easy to do. So, I thought there was a possibility maybe he finds a genie in a bottle one day. But I've been convinced since 2008, and I was on a radio show with Mark Wilson in Detroit in 2008, saying even then I did not think that Tiger would catch Jack.
You were pretty emphatic about it, and it's one of those things. I just keep waiting for something to happen. Do you think? And we'll get off the subject of Tiger because I want to have you on again and talk more about this when we get closer to our next major, which was Tiger's last major when he beat Rocco Media in that tremendous playoff where he could barely walk. It was great, and that was the last time we saw the magic of Tiger Woods. But you know, looking at Tiger Woods now, do you think that he has Jack Nicklaus? Was 46 years old in 1986 when he won the green jacket, one of the most historic back nines that Augusta National will ever see. Do you think Tiger Woods, and I know you talked about the genie in the bottle just now, but do you think he has that in him that will see that magic? I just can't imagine not seeing Tiger hoist up one more major. He's still, you know, just hitting 40s.
I think you got a better chance of Carly Rae Jepsen re-recording the Gilligan's Island theme song and selling a million copies. Tiger's, it's funny you mentioned Father's Day because I believe Tiger's decline began when his father, Earl, his mentor and his true soulmate, passed in 2006. I was at the Buick Open in Grand Blanc, Michigan in 2007, and Mark Wilson and I followed Tiger in a practice round. And you could see then his demeanor was different. He'd make a bad shot, and his body language was ruffled. He was emotional. He'd slam his club. He'd swear. He was always cool as a cucumber. And I think when his father died, his father kept him grounded, so we can pick this up at a later date. But no, since then he's had more back surgeries. The field's gotten better, and he can't even finish a tournament, much less win a major.
Oh, you know, just talking about Tiger Woods' father, Earl, and, you know, Magnum and I were just having a conversation about, the big topic of the last 4 days, LeVar Ball. And, you know, I mean, I was telling Magnum, I guarantee the guy loves his kid, and in the future they will have a great relationship together. And I'm not one to say it's terrible now because I just don't know. I thought that whole thing was way overblown. Well, listen, something about another fight. Bernie, I was talking about the highly likely Floyd Mayweather-Conor McGregor fight earlier. And to me, the money that is being thrown around, this might end up being the biggest farce in sports history. Anyone that knows anything about boxing knows McGregor has absolutely no chance of winning this fight if it is straight boxing, right?
Well, I don't see how he would. Floyd was 49-0 against guys who boxed their entire lives. So I don't know how McGregor's going to be able to hit him. But see, here's the kicker that we're all missing things. We don't have royalty in our society. Our sports athletes and our luminaries, they are our royalty. That includes people like Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor. Secondly, society, since the beginning of time, has always had a fascination with gladiator sports. Now, these are two warriors from, granted, they're from different sports, but they're both champions. And when they get into the ring, it's not going to be what I would consider to be, you know, a fair fight because Conor's not going to be able to use all the tricks in his toolbox. And if it was the other way around and it was the UFC rules, I don't think Floyd would have a chance. But be that as it may, they're both competitive warriors. Now, here's why I will be watching. And no matter what happens, I won't be complaining the following Monday. Because I've seen too many times in my life something happen, and I'm glad I watched it live as opposed to having had to listen to people talk about it at the water cooler the following Monday. But by the way, is that even a reference anymore? let's take Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard, November 1980, no mas. I saw that live, and I'm thinking to myself, if somebody would have had to tell me about that the following day, I would have been mad that I didn't see it live because it was so incredulous to watch. Let's take Mike Tyson it wasn't Leon Spinks. Gosh darn it, who was it in June of 88? 90 seconds.
Michael Spinks.
Michael Spinks, thank you. He hits him with a left hook in the gut, and Spinks was done. He didn't want to fight anymore. Let's take Bite Night in 1997 with Mike Tyson. So there have been so many oddball events in sports that have taken place that were unpredictable, that the opportunity to see it live, I'm just not going to pass up. Whatever happens, when it happens. And that includes if it's a replay of what we saw with Floyd and Manny Pacquiao on May 2nd a couple of years ago. It was a joke of a fight. It was a square dance. And people were just, you know, tearing their hair out. However, I still wanted to see it live. I still wanted to see what would have happened just in case. So this is going to be a spectacle in the sense that we don't know what's going to happen. It could be the biggest bust of all time. There could be something crazy happen or everything in between. All I know is while it's live and while it's happening, I want to watch it. And like I've said, society has a fascination with gladiator sports. And still, these are two guys that represent royalty in the world of boxing and UFC. And this is what makes our society tick. We can't get enough of this stuff.
I'm not disagreeing with you. The only way Floyd Mayweather is losing this fight, like I said, if they want to make it fair, you have one round of boxing short in the rounds, and I don't know how you'd go back and forth, but there's no way it's a fair fight. And the only way Floyd Mayweather, like I said, something astonishing happens, maybe if he slips and hits his head on the corner of the ring, Conor McGregor has a chance. But I'm watching it too, Bernie. There's no way I'm going to miss something. It's an iconic fight. It's historic, and of course I'm going to watch it. And like you said, I remember, to me, the one that I drove a long way from East Lansing to Mount Pleasant, about a 45 minute to an hour drive to watch the Sugar Ray Leonard Tommy Hearns fight, where in the 13th round I saw hands beat from Sugar Ray Leonard that I've never seen in my life to this day. And you couldn't have told me about that fight and explained how many times he hit Tommy Hearns in such a short period of time. It was crazy. And
by the way, Brian, and that was September of 81, he hit him 26 straight times in the 13th round, had him on the ropes. Otherwise Hearns wins that fight. How about 8 years later, I'm going to say it was June of 89, when they had a rematch and Hearns beat him, and I'm a huge Sugar Ray Leonard fan, but I like Tommy too, and they called it a draw. I was watching that fight with Joe
DeMars. That was disgusting.
And we looked at each other, and that was when the Pistons, it was a night off, they were in the finals against the Lakers in 89, and we looked at each other and we said, wait a minute, how did that just happen? And I was with kind of a Detroit contingent, and they all felt Hearns got robbed. I don't think this fight between McGregor and Floyd is even about winning. It's about the spectacle and the entertainment nature of it. Everybody's talking about it. Look at the hype. The hype is going to be beyond belief when they finally announce the date. And, yeah, I see no way that the fight itself is not going to be anticlimactic, but you never know. So that's what I want to watch.
I agree. And, you know, you got a 12-year difference in age. If there's any advantage to a McGregor, Mayweather's 40 years old, but I'm going to enjoy watching a 40-year-old kick a 20-something-year-old's ass. That's going to be fun. So
look, real quickly, I'm sure you saw the movie Coming to America.
Oh, yeah.
With Eddie Murphy. And don't you love at the very end of boxing arguments in the barber shop? And Joe Louis was 79 years old. He fought Rocky Marciano.
Yes.
F you. Next. But I mean, people will still talk about that fight because it was Marciano and Joe Louis.
No, I agree 100%. Listen, again, you can follow Bernie on Twitter at Bernie Fratto. Hey, Bernie, thanks again for coming on, my friend, and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Bernie, always a pleasure, man. I love it.
Are you and Magnum have fun over there?
We always do. Hey, listen, we're going to take a real quick break. We will come back with Mark Anderson, Las Vegas Review Journal, talking Running Rebels. How big of an impact do you feel signing Brandon McCoy will have on the program and the Marvin Menzies regime?
You know, it's you don't want to put too much pressure on the kid. But he's pretty level-headed. I think he understands what he signed up for. I think he knows that the expectations will be big. So I think we'll get the results that we're looking for. I think the more important thing, well, not more important, but equally as important, is that there's going to be a huge upgrade from top to bottom. And I think that when you look at that, it's getting – Brandon is obviously –
Joining us now, Mark Anderson, Las Vegas Review Journal beat writer, covering UNLV basketball. Mark, you just heard Marvin Menzies talk about this team, this recruiting class, and obviously his star recruit. What are your thoughts? Pretty impressed?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was accurate. You know, and it's not just McCoy. I think it's the entire class. And I think you saw in McCoy effect. I think what you saw out of this class is the main reason why you want to play like Brandon McCoy is because he gets everyone else's attention. It's not just it's great to get the talent upgrade, but you know, within what 12 hours, two of the top recruits signed with UNLV after he committed to UNLV. And yeah. I think that rings through with the future classes as well, as they see that as well.
Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden, we last year couldn't find a point guard, and this year it looks like they have potentially three point guards that may see the floor and be able to play. How is this going to affect the team as these guys come in, try to mesh together? Guys like Javon Mooring, who was really the go-to guy last year, like it or not, obviously his playing time is obviously going to be a bit curtailed, but do you think he's going to be able to fit into this mix?
I don't know that I agree it's necessarily going to be curtailed. I think he's going to go play his more natural position at the two now. And so I think he's going to be very valuable over there. And he's a senior, and they could use that senior leadership. Yeah. And you know, he's a guy who's not afraid to take the big shot, and he gives it everything he has. So I think you're going to see a lot of Javon Mooring next season. He just won't be running the point because not as often because they don't need him to now. But yeah, it's fun. It is funny how you go from no point guard to now you have at least a couple you can rely on. So it's a great situation, and it's really good having a senior veteran like Jordan Johnson running the point, and you can bring in Amari Hardy now, and all the pressure is not on him to run the team, but he can go in there and play quality minutes and really get a feel for what he needs to do at the next level and develop chemistry that way. And I think it's a great situation for UNLV.
Yeah, and, you know, some good veterans, at least, that have played in college, like Justin, this guy, junior college player of the year. Menzies has done great going after the JUCO players. Real quickly, back to McCoy again. He's one and done, right?
No, I don't necessarily think so. I've heard a lot of people who think that he's not a one and done. So I think in his mind he is. And, you know, as a top 15 player, you would think just the very top 15 player in his own mind would think so. But I've heard from a number of people that think he still has some work to do. And so, and I think that's where there may be too much pressure on this kid. He could come in and be a top flight player, but, you know, big men also often take time to develop. And I think he's going to need some time. And I think, you know, I'm not sure he's going to be UNLV's best player next season as far as, you know, overall contribution. He may be the most talented player, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he needs some time to come in and develop. And that's not to say he won't be a really good player. I'm just saying that to be, you know, a 20-10 kid, I don't know that I see that. I mean, he could be. I could be completely off, but just from what I've heard, I just think it's I just don't know that he's going to be that kind of impactful player right out of the gate.
Well, I hope he is able to hang around a couple of years and is able to develop and take his time. Two more things I wanted to ask you, but I'll do this quickly. I'll just say one name to you. We've got a big change coming at the end of June, and that is Desiree Reed-Francois. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, everyone I've talked to says she just blew everyone away. At the interview in Salt Lake City, and they were just really, really impressed with her. And in her, you know, her introductory news conference, she was, you know, coming across really, you know, really like she knew what she was doing. You could tell she had a law background by the way she answered questions. You know, not giving away too much, and so she wasn't painting herself in a corner. But it'll be interesting, you know. Now she's got to get to work and actually get things done. And it's one thing to do really well at a news conference, really well to do an interview setting, but then you actually have to go perform. And it's going to be a hard task for her. I mean, she's got a big break with Marvin's recruiting class, so there's an excitement around the program now, and that might get people to want to open their wallets a little bit more. And there's excitement with UNLV football too. So in a lot of ways, she's also coming in at a good time, and so it's just a matter of taking advantage of those good feelings. And I think there's I get a general sense of optimism about her from talking to people, and I think that's going to work to her benefit too, where she's going to come in and there's going to be some immediate goodwill, And so that will help as far as getting done what she needs to get done, at least early.
So far, everything I've heard is good. I thought, to be honest with you, the press conference, watching that, I thought it was very generic, a lot of politically correct answers, but what do you expect? As you said, the proof's going to be in the pudding. I hope she does well. You wish everybody well. I hope she does well and things, the culture changes. Like you said, Menzies recruiting class helps. The excitement around UNLV football and a potential 6'5 quarterback helps. We'll see what happens. Mark, I don't have time to do it, and I wanted to, but on your Facebook page, the other day, you talked about our favorite athletes in sports, and I love those conversations. You'll have to check out what I put if you haven't yet. I added a little bit to it, and I answered, and we'll have to have that conversation another time on the air. He is Mark Anderson, beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, covering UNLV basketball, does a great job with it, and hopefully, Mark, we're going to see a whole different team this year.
It will be a different team.
Right, it's a different team.
I don't know this, and it's an NCAA tournament team, but I think it'll be a more fun team and definitely a better team.
I want to see competitive. I think that's all we do. And I'm not expectations other than an improvement over last year and a little bit more competitive, especially down the stretch.
Yes, absolutely. And, last year's team actually was competitive early and then they just fell apart. And, I think that fans want to see a team that's strong all the way to the end, obviously. And we'll see. You never know how injuries are going to play a part. You don't know how chemistry is going to work. So there's still a lot of questions. At least initially, I think people are excited, and they should be.
Yeah, on paper, and I watched all the highlights of all these kids. I'm pretty excited. It'll be a neat new class of UNLV players, and we'll see how Menzies does only year two. Mark, we appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Brian. You take care.
Absolutely. Mark Anderson, again, you can follow Mark on Twitter, at MarkAnderson65. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. El Mags, it's time for Blazin'. Blazin' brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, a stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital. Featuring two happy hours daily, there is no place better in America to go for wings, beer, and sports. During football season, I'm out there every Monday night for Monday Night Football, giving away replica jerseys, wings party, and a whole lot more. Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, wings, beer, and sports. There is no place better. Mags, I'm going to make it easy. You know what's blazing today? Joe Girardi yesterday in that, the game, he got thrown out of the game, but it was old school. Got all in the face of umpire Scott Barry. Obviously, he got kicked out. Him and his assistant coach and even the pitcher were all arguing pitches. You know you can't do that. You know it's an order. But Joe Girardi went right up the whole place, buried it like he was playing in the sand. It reminded me of the old school days like Billy Martin, Whitey Herzog. I love that stuff. So Joe Girardi, even though I can't stand the New York Yankees, you are blazing in my book today. What you got for me, Mags?
Well, as much as I want to go with Liverpool getting the 3-0 victory today, qualifying for the Champions League, I'm going to keep it in New York. I'm going to go with two corner outfielders, one for the Yankees, one for the Mets. How about the year that Aaron Judge and Michael Conforto are having so far? Judge, 15 home runs, 30 RBIs, hitting .331 for the Yankees. He leads the majors in home runs. Then, of course, Michael Conforto, he played here in Las Vegas for a couple years, originally from Seattle, Washington, only 24 years old. He's hitting .322 with 11 home runs, 27 RBIs. These two guys are having phenomenal seasons. The worst part, though, Conforto, not on the All-Star ballot, despite the fact that he's probably having an All-Star season. So you're going to have to write him in, or hopefully he gets selected by the managers. One of the few bright spots for the Mets this year, Michael Conforto. And both of these guys played their college ball on the West Coast, Judge at Fresno, Conforto at Oregon State. So two phenomenal seasons by these guys, and Judge just, he's hitting the crap out of the ball. I mean, it's ridiculous to watch this guy right now. 6'7", 280 pounds. That's like, a small forward.
Yeah, it's a defensive end. It's a defensive end in the baseball. I know I'm a huge Michael Conforto fan. I got to interview him last year right before he got called back up. And Max, he spent the majority of the season down here last year for one simple reason. He couldn't stay off the low inside sliders, and he was killing him. He was striking out more than he was walking or popping. It was ridiculous. They brought him down here. He spent the whole season down here last year, had a good season, and now he's back up where he should be. And it looks to me like he stayed off the low inside slider. Blazin' brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Wings, beer, and sports. There is no place better. Two happy hours every single day. And Mags, it is time for Fact this. And let me tell you something. The Mayweather-McGregor fight will happen in spite of what Dana White has to say about it.
We're right there to get this deal done. You know, we just got to get the deal done. I would like to get it done this Sunday and start negotiating with Team Mayweather. And, you know, if that deal can get done, then we'll get it done. And if it can, I need to move on.
You know, and what I say is, in spite of what he says if he can, he needs to move on. He will never move on. If it's 3 years and Mayweather's 43 and McGregor's 31, this fight will take place because of the money involved. I don't care how rich any of them are. No one, and I mean no one, will pass up the purse this farce promises to yield. And this is what I have to say about it. It will be exactly what I just called it, a farce. If it goes more than one round, it will have to be fixed. We are talking about a guy that has never fought one professional boxing match in his life, and a guy that all he knows is boxing. He's fought 49 times. He's won every one of those over two decades. Let's be realistic. Like I said, McGregor, if you want to look at the tail of the tape, Mayweather's 40. McGregor's 28. Mayweather's 5'8". McGregor's 5'9". There's where the advantages for McGregor stop. 1 inch and 12 years is not going to be enough to handle the 49-0 Floyd Mayweather in a boxing ring. Good luck, McGregor. But you know what? You're going to make a hell of a lot of money. And I'll tell you, I thought about it. For the kind of money you're making, I might even get on a bull. I mean, that's ridiculous what those guys are going to make. Listen, last thing I want to tell you, 51's report brought to you by the Las Vegas 51s. The 51s are getting ready to head out of town. They're struggling a bit. They've gone back and forth, but they are heading out of town. And let me see. They will be. They actually started playing out of town this weekend. They're in New Orleans, and they're out of town until next Saturday. They will be home against next Saturday. And they'll be home all next weekend. So go on out. I know next Monday, a week from Monday, is that special value night where you get dollar hot dogs, dollar drinks. There's nothing better than Las Vegas 51s. Mags, they are out of this world. We are out of line. We are here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 a.m., 98.9 FM. And you can always, we are streaming live always on the Las Vegas Sports Network. I'm Brian. Thanks to Magnum. Thanks to Bernie. Thanks to Mark Anderson. We'll see you next week.